From the KTOO newsroom in downtown Juneau, I'm Zoe Grieskin with a local and statewide news update. A tentative deal between the state and a striking fare union could get the Alaska Marine Highway System back up and running as early as this weekend. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
Transportation Commissioner John McKinnon cautioned reporters Friday that the ferry shutdown, now in its 10th day, won't be reversed overnight.
I hope everyone understands that we can't just flip a switch and get the ships running. They've got a schedule that they've got to get into, going the direction they need to go in order to get back in sync with everything.
In a statement, the Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific called the deal a fair resolution to the long-running impasse that turned into a system-wide shutdown last Wednesday. The draft contract now goes before the 430-odd members for ratification. Department of Administration Commissioner Kelly Chewbacca says no details will be released before that happens.
But the areas that were subject for the greatest area of compromise were in terms of wages, health care, and the duration of the contract.
The tentative contract is for 3 years, something the union had been pushing for. Earlier Friday, IBU members packed up their round-the-clock picket lines at ferry terminals in Juneau and Ketchikan. McKinnon says the ferry strike forced the state to refund $3.2 million in fares for 8,300 passengers and 2,300 vehicles.
That is a big revenue hit to the system, and that loss of revenue will impact our ability to operate.
Negotiations through a federal mediator were held all week and often late into the night. State Senator Jesse Keel, a Democrat from Juneau, says he and his staff did what they could to keep everyone at the table.
We booked meeting rooms in legislative space so it was neutral ground, and we made coffee and emptied waste baskets and whatever we could do without breaking the rules to first get the parties talking and then keep them talking.
Keel says the strike heavily disrupted the flow of people, freight, and goods.
I am really, really excited at the prospect of getting that service moving again. Those vessels need to sail for the economy and the culture of coastal Alaska.
The IBU has been seeking 3% raises annually for the next 3 years. That's after 2 years of wage freezes. The cost of health care premiums and a disparity in pay between Alaska residents and non-residents have also been sticking points. State officials had alleged some of the union's initial demands were unlawful and had threatened that striking workers could face suspension or termination, calling the strike illegal. The Alaska Marine Highway System hasn't been shut down by a strike since 1977. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Angry voters in more than a dozen Alaska towns can now sign the petition to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy. However, there are plenty of communities across the state where voters do not have that option right now. KSTK's June Leffler has more.
Recall Dunleavy organizers scheduled events for Thursday and throughout the weekend to take signatures from those angry with the governor. In Southeast Alaska, Juneau, Sitka, Petersburg, Ketchikan, and Haines held or will hold these events. The island town of Wrangell does not have one planned. Organizer Mita DeWitt lives in Anchorage, but she has roots in Wrangell, and she certainly wants to see the town be a part of the process.
My family comes from Wrangell. I am the great-grandchild of Chief Shakes, or Charlie Jones. So I would love to see a full turnout in Wrangell to have a signature gathering there. And other than that, every single community that joins just fills my heart with gratitude.
DeWitt is proud of the grassroots campaign, which consists of over 1,200 volunteers. But that means she is relying on those in each community to step up to gather the signatures. She's still looking for someone in Wrangell and many small communities across Alaska.
And for those who weren't able to participate in this, we are still going strong. So they can email me at info@recalldunleavy.org and say that they would like to lead a signature gathering event in their community.
You may be wondering, in the year of 2019, why can't the petition just be online? Alaska statute says so.
It's part of how we engage in the political system in Alaska, and it's part of the written law. But also, I think that doing it on paper helps to prevent fraud. And it also gets people out and gets them engaged in the democratic process.
Organizers need to collect over 28,000 signatures to proceed to the next phase of the recall process. DeWitt hopes to get those by mid-December. If her campaign succeeds, the next step is to collect more than 71,000 signatures. In Wrangell, I'm June Loeffler.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says thousands of Pacific walruses have come to shore on the northwest coast of Alaska in their earliest appearance since sea ice has substantially receded. Agency spokeswoman Andrea Medeiros says several thousand walruses were spotted Tuesday on the barrier island near Point Lay. Point Lay is a village about 700 miles northwest of Anchorage in the North Slope borough. Sea ice allows immature walrus to rest as their mothers dive over the shallow continental shelf to eat clams and snails. However, when ice recedes beyond the shelf to water more than 10,000 feet deep, walruses are forced on beaches in Alaska and Russia, where they're vulnerable to stampedes. Federal biologists have documented herds as large as 40,000 animals in recent years. Tom Ainsworth's last day of work is today. The National Weather Service's chief weather forecaster for Southeast Alaska is retiring after a long career that includes 17 years in Juneau. KTOO's Matt Miller sat down with him and has this profile.
Tom Ainsworth remembers being about 10 years old when he dropped a not-so-subtle hint by circling a weather station kit in a Christmas catalog.
We hoisted that baby out in the backyard, had a barometer inside the house. I kept a log of what the day's temperatures were and cloud cover, and I had a rain gauge out in the backyard.
Ainsworth grew up in Oswego, New York.
My parents probably saw me doing what you shouldn't do, which was go straight to the door out the backyard during thunderstorms and lightning events. And just being out in the weather, being out in the elements gave me joy.
He noticed the kinds of things that meteorologists notice, like hyperlocal differences in the amount of snowfall.
Maybe 15 miles away, there was only a dusting of snow, but in somebody's backyard, there could have been that 30 or 40 inches of snow. That was intriguing to me.
Ainsworth headed off to college, intending to turn a satisfying hobby into a career by getting a degree in meteorology. His first real job was working for the National Weather Service in Seattle. That was 36 years ago. Then it was Redding, California, Portland, Oregon, and Salt Lake City.
My background had been always near the ocean coast or working in a mountainous terrain.
He came to Juneau in 2002 and has been responsible for 25 staff who work around the clock covering all of Southeast Alaska. The territory includes an ice field and glaciers, a large rainforest, and rivers and streams that are home to salmon runs.
It's all connected. All these ecosystems are connected to the weather, and the weather drives some of the ecosystems, too. And, of course, our economy is pretty weather-dependent.
Technology, of course, has evolved by leaps and bounds from little Tommy's weather station kit nearly a half century ago. Satellites, automated remote observation stations, and computer modeling provide important information. Knowledge of the local geography and climate is especially critical. Since the Weather Service's mission is protecting lives and property, Ainsworth says they take that fire hose of information and interpret for mariners, pilots, and the general public. A forecaster's job does not include climate predictions, but Ainsworth says it is important to consider recent climate trends when preparing a short-term forecast, and he's noticed some changes during his time here.
The most obvious one for me personally in my years here in Juneau is the decrease in snowfall during the winter here at sea level. We seem to have more rain events, later snow, not the extreme events that we've had in the past.
Ainsworth's plan is to stay in Juneau, even though he'll no longer be tasked with daily forecasts. He says the long-held fascination about what's happening in the sky above will definitely continue, especially as he enjoys his new free time outside in Southeast Alaska's elements. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And Juneau's Perseverance Theater has removed a play from its lineup after concerns were raised about its content and cost. The Juneau Empire reported yesterday that Perseverance Theater removed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest last month because of its depiction of topics in Indigenous culture and sexual assault, and because of the theater's financial limitations. The book, published in 1962, is told from the perspective of a Native American character, was written by a white man, and its main character is a convicted rapist. Some residents say the decision could be considered censorship. The theater had scheduled the play from mid-January through February 2020, but it will be replaced with the play Silent Sky. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, August 2nd, 2019. I'm Zoe Gruskin.